Thanks for tuning in to the Undercut's review of the 2024 Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and enjoy the show.
By being a racing driver, you are under risk all the time. And by being a racing driver means you are racing with other people. And if you no longer go for a gap that exists, you're no longer a racing driver.
All right, guys, so we are here for the final race of the 2024 F1 season, the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. Of course, at least for me, I always think of the 2021 Abu Dhabi Grand Prix, which was madness, but not quite as big of stakes coming into this one, at least in the Drivers' Championship. But in the Constructors' Championship, we have McLaren, I think, was up 21 points coming into the weekend. So they essentially need Lando to not win and for Ferrari to score
a 1-2.
Yeah.
I think like how you say Lando to not win. Like, you know, Piastri could just not win as well. your favoritism is peeking through already, Jason.
Afterthoughts, Piastri, is that?
10 seconds.
I'm not even sure who's my favorite of the two anymore. But
odd.
But yeah, I guess I kind of gave it away a bit there, didn't I? By saying that. So yeah, some things have to go Ferrari's way for them to win. But still, I mean, the closest Constructors Championship in a while, right? I mean,
right. And certainly crazy that the winner of the World Championship is not a member of the team that is going to win the Constructors Championship. Like, that's also
It's only happened unusual. A couple of times.
Yeah.
You know, I think I don't want to give too much away, but Checo didn't score any points. But how he scored 1 point in five races. I mean, I don't think that's much of a spoiler. But when you look at the point spread, you know, like the world champion and the second place driver, like who were gapped the furthest in terms of teammate, I think Michael Schumacher finished as champion, I forget the year. His teammate finished 10th that year.
Who was that?
Jos Verstappen.
Oh. That was driving for Benetton?
It must have been, yeah.
Must have been Benetton, because Jos didn't drive for Ferrari, did he? So
that's right.
Maybe it was the year that Jos had the fire. Remember that? He was in the refueling fire.
That's right. In Hockenheim? No, that was Pedro Diniz who caught fire at Hockenheim. Oh, but they had a few of those.
Pedro in the yellow Parmalat. Oh, we're going. See, this is why you need to be on the pod every week, Nick, so we can reminisce about 1990s Formula One. That's when Formula One was better.
With V10s.
Refueling, V10s, V12s in the Ferrari.
Fires in the pit lane. No pit lane speed limit.
Cars exploding all the time.
Exactly. Yeah. Engines exploding. All right. Get us back on track, Jason.
Back on track. Sorry. No, that was me. My bad.
I followed you down that road very easily, Nick.
So not much action for the practice sessions, but we had quite an eventful qualifying session. So let's jump right into that. Checo originally had his first lap deleted, which had him in P3, so he had to go out for another lap. I think pretty much everyone did, except for maybe Max and maybe the McLarens. But as he's going out for his second lap, his first lap gets reinstated, which would have made him safe. I don't know if he actually ended up going around for another lap, but it didn't end up mattering. And they put an interesting camera angle, like right down the line. I don't remember what turn that is, turn 7 or turn 9 or something like that. Or maybe it was the beginning of the lap.
Maybe that was a lap. It was one of them. It was a
with
corner.
With the car coming directly towards the camera, right?
Going away. Isn't it?
Yeah.
It was a static camera looking down the line.
Right. Where there was a high speed corner where a lot of people were making going over track limits. But anyway, they deemed that his lap should be reinstated, so he was able to make it into Q2, which he has been struggling to be able to do as of late. So that was good for him. But the Mercedes, who had looked really, really fast in all three practice sessions, all of a sudden were really struggling in Q1. George was just able to get into Q2 with a P9 time on his final lap. But Lewis, who was not able to make it through, ultimately we saw that as Kevin Magnussen was trying to get out of the way while Lewis was on his final flying lap, he hit one of the bollards, which went in front of Lewis and like kind of got stuck underneath his car, kind of ruining his downforce and ruining any time that he had or any chance that he had of making a time to get him through to the next session. So unfortunate for Lewis in his last.
It was like the Mercedes. I think there were like two corners left after that. It's the final left-hander.
Mm-hmm.
And you got then two pretty quick right-handers after that. So you need that downforce in that last sector. And he just, you know. And some of us in the group had Lewis for a podium. I see that you got yours. Yeah, I did as well. So I was like, oh, man, really?
What's the point of those bollards anyway? Like, just to stop people.
Stop people cutting the corner.
But they just fall off when they hit them, right?
I know.
It only stops one person cutting the corner once.
Yeah. You know? And then it causes a safety car for everybody else.
Pretty much, yeah. But yeah, unfortunate for Lewis. And he ultimately, I think it was a P18 time. But that might change in a little bit. Max puts in his first time in Q2 with an amazing lap that was way up on everyone else's first time. But Charles was able to go from in the bottom five from his first lap into P1 on his final lap, which got deleted, I believe, right?
Yes, that was the angle that you were looking, the car coming directly towards you, and you could just see all four tires. I mean, it was pretty clear, actually, that went off the track. It wasn't a question. And, you know, there you go. Time deleted. That's the rules. Yeah.
And he was already coming in with a 10-spot grid penalty for taking a new gearbox, I think.
Battery. It was a battery.
Battery, that's right.
It already used his allotment, yeah.
So, he would be starting towards the back. I think P19 ultimately was his starting spot. Bottas had an incredible final lap to get him through to Q3 for the first time in forever. I think he did it the first race weekend he was with Sauber, but he's done it a couple times, I think. But still, the first time this season. So great for Bottas. And then Max on his first lap in Q3 had a final moment going into the final quarter where he almost lost it into the wall, but somehow was able to keep it moving forward and keep one of his tires on track to keep his lap from being deleted, and took the fastest lap anyway with that.
I don't know how he did that. Like, just to even save the car.
So out of shape, wasn't he?
Should have been in the wall, and then not to lose any time, but he still put in a decent time, is just even more unbelievable. Amazing.
Yeah, that was crazy. And then more times deleted. Oscar's first time was deleted. It looked really close and looked like it might get reinstated, which I don't believe that it did. But then his next lap put him back into P3 behind Max and Lando with one more chance to go. Checo took his final lap really early. He only went up to P9, so nothing really there. Nico took provisional pole for a little bit with only a couple guys left to go.
Yeah, with like 30 seconds before the end, right?
Yeah, that was amazing.
Yeah, he was looking really good all weekend. Both the Haases were. That was super impressive from him. But then Oscar took it, and then ultimately Lando took it just after that with Max left to go, but he was not able to improve. So the McLarens locked out the front row. I was thrilled with that, with Carlos and Nico behind them on the second row.
Hulkenberg, like the second row, that's brilliant. But they can't possibly let Hulkenberg start ahead of Verstappen.
Nope.
Can they?
I don't remember. What did he end up getting the three-spot penalty for?
I've no idea. I didn't see any of the post-qualifying show, and I didn't see any of the pre-race show. All I saw was that they got, we got to get Max in front. Yeah, I don't know what Hulkenberg did.
It might have been some sort of impeding, but I can't remember. Still amazing qualifying spot for him, even with the three-spot grid penalty to P7. We had a crazy fight for P6 ahead of us, as well as for P1 in the Constructors' Championship. Pierre ended up in, where was he starting? P5, with Alpine in the driver's seat for P6, but he had Nico two spots behind him, and RB were not happy with where they ended up qualifying. I think they were both knocked out in the second part of qualifying.
I think so.
So yeah. Really just Pierre and Nico trying to kind of battle it out to see who could take P6 there. But definitely an advantage for McLaren going into the race to seal the Constructors' Championship. We did get a few other penalties as well. Albon, obviously Charles, and Franco all took penalties, I think all for taking parts in this race, I believe.
Yeah, I think Gearbox is also, there was something Gearboxy for the Williamses, I think, and they had five grid spot penalties each.
Right. So that is really it for the pre-race stuff. I don't know if you saw the little interview that Martin Brundle did of Brad Pitt in the Apex GP.
Oh, I didn't see that, but they're still doing lots of filming, right, for this F1 movie.
Yeah.
I guess I did see that they filmed like a multiple podiums for that movie at this race.
Oh, really?
They
had one where I think Brad Pitt was on the top step. They had him on a different step. They filmed a couple of different ones just to kind of keep us all guessing, right?
So you don't know who's going to come out top in there.
Wow.
In their movie, which we'll probably all watch. Trying to work out where all these pictures came from, pointing out inconsistencies.
Well, I think they said June 20-something was the the release date.
Not next year?
Of next year, yeah.
Okay, yeah, June 20-something, as in the date, not the year.
Oh.
So it's not like June, like 2028.
I thought you were talking about the year. When you said 20-something, I'm like, so sometime in the next 6 years.
No. No, June. I think it was June 26th of next year.
Oh, my birthday?
Yes. Yeah.
If anybody wants to.
I know it's gift. Zach's birthday. I didn't That's realize right. It was your birthday.
Nice. I think that is really it for the pre-race stuff.
The one thing, the opening credits, they put Jack Doohan in, but they obviously he didn't have any points last year. So in reality, he should have gone to right at the very start, and they'd have had to reorder the entire thing. So they just went, now just stick him in the same place as Ocon.
When did they have time to film that?
They've had a week.
Him to just do his little, pose or whatever before the...
It's all done with AI, Jason. It's not real.
You think
none of
so?
This is real. It's all done in a computer.
George never really made that pose.
That's right.
Pose.
We're all living in a simulation, Jason.
None of this is real.
Yeah.
All the Matrix. Pretty much everybody started on mediums, except for Lewis, I believe, was the only one to start on hard tires all the way from... Where'd he end up starting? P16 with all the penalties, right?
Way down. 16, 17, something like that.
Yeah, Charles ended up starting P19 because Franco also got the penalty. So So able to move up one spot.
Continue the conversation on pine-sports.com. That's pine-sports.com. And the Pine Sports Discord, which you can find linked on the website. And join us in a one-of-a-kind fantasy Formula One contest at coopsf1.com. That's COOPSF1.com, where you can put your theories to the test.
On to the start of the race. Lando had a great jump off the line and was able to steer clear of any trouble behind him because Oscar and Max were going kind of side by side into turn one. Oscar was definitely ahead of Max, if you're asking me. And Max took the inside line, stuck it in there, and just kind of went a little bit wide as Oscar was on the outside, and they both came together and spun out in opposite sides of the track. Max ended up getting a 10-second penalty for that, which I think was deserved and not cool.
I've seen them not given for a first corner incident like that, but he did understeer right across the track and take him out. Mm-hmm. And annoyingly displayed amazing car control to just kind of flip it around and be finished in the right direction and carry on, having lost only maybe three or four places. Meanwhile, Oscar's on the other side of the track facing the wrong direction and really going to go all the way to the back.
I called it luck, Nick. You calling it car control, that he just spun 360 degrees almost perfectly and just carried on. Yeah,
it's almost like he meant it. Not saying he meant it, but
I mean, Max shouldn't have been sticking his nose in there, but he's a racer, right? He's always gonna. It doesn't matter the situation, you know, whether he's, you know, his fight is over, you know, let the McLarens and the Ferraris battle it out for the constructors.
Yeah. But if he hadn't.
Yeah, but he wasn't letting them battle it out.
But if he hadn't
been one of them,
been given
that's
the
what
penalty,
I'm saying, he should have done. Yeah.
But if he hadn't been given the penalty, would you have thought, first corner incident, they kind of let those go?
I was kind of annoyed at Max, but then I thought, actually, he's made the constructors a bit more interesting because it's Ferrari that need the points, not McLaren. So that sort of, you know, reduces McLaren's possibility or makes it harder for them to score points. So maybe that leaves the door open. So I was like, but my initial thought was Max was a little overzealous, but that's the way Max is. So,
I mean, where did Oscar say? He was like, should have known I was driving next to a world champion or something.
Yeah, yeah, like something like that. Like the move of a world champion.
Yeah,
something like that. He said,
very sarcastically, of course. He got the 10-second penalty for that, and we move on. But Checo also got crashed into by Bottas, I believe, which spun Checo out, and he ultimately had to retire on the next lap, which brought out a virtual safety car. But before we get into that, Charles's opening lap was unbelievable. I mean, he moved up 11 spots on the first lap
by the seventh corner.
Yeah.
After turn seven, he was in eighth. Have you seen the car?
Yeah.
I mean, he gets a couple of guys off the line, and then obviously everyone got through, thankfully, after the Verstappen and Piastri incident. But you could see that maybe like some people had to back off a little bit to kind of, you know, get themselves together. So that meant that going into turn six, he was already into like 12th. And then goes up that straight, and he takes another couple just in the braking zone to there. But then when Bottas and Perez come together, he's just out of their way because he can see them to his left, and they're the last two people that he picks off to be going into turn eight in eighth spot. It was like amazing when he came out, and they said on the radio, "Charles, that is P8," and he goes, "Woohoo!" The radio. That was great.
Yeah. And the Constructors' Championship blew wide open in the terms of one lap. I mean, everything seem possible at this
moment. Yeah, because starting P19, it's like Ferrari have got no chance. But right. When you're halfway through the first lap and you look and he's already in eighth, you go, how the heck did he get to eighth?
Yeah,
and then you knew at that point, man, when you've had that kind of start, you know he's racy and he's going to keep moving forward.
Yeah.
Especially when you look at the cars that were in front of him at that point in terms of, you know, there was Hulkenberg in the Haas, there was Gasly in the Alpine. So there were cars that were a little bit out of position there.
Yeah.
Could be taken.
And Oscar had spun all the way to the back of the grid. So, just like a shifting from the front to the back with Charles and Oscar a little bit. Yuki stalled out on the start-finish line and fell from P10th or P11, I can't remember, all the way to the back. And then Joe gets a false start penalty, which is the third straight race in a row. I think we've had a false start penalty, and I haven't seen one before that in however long. And I feel like it coincides with when the new race director started. I don't know if it's just a coincidence or.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But, I mean, Hamilton held his arms up and said, my fault, when he false started last week.
Yeah.
I know they're supposed to hold the five lights for somewhere between 2 and 7 seconds. It's supposed to be completely randomized.
Right.
So maybe if it's just, maybe there's some correlation, if it's on the longer side of that, that, you know, there's more chance of people getting a little jumpy.
Sure.
But I don't know.
But it's not like computerly randomized. It's just whenever that lady decides to push the button, it.
No, I think that person pushes the button, but even that has some randomness underneath it too. So they really can't give them any signal. Maybe it's an off-season project for you, Jason, to find out if you can get that data and triangulate it all together and work out how many false starts based on that pause. Rewatch all the videos.
Yeah, and how many have been missed.
Yeah. And if you haven't already heard about it or seen it, you remember there was the controversy back in maybe the late 90s again.
Oh, here we go. I mean,
where people figured out the signal that was sent to the starter to hit the button.
Oh,
and it was like a little audible beep or whatever that went, and they found the frequency. And so so the FIA got wind of this and they broadcast the beep and told the starter not to push the button for 2 seconds after that. So they broadcast the beep and five or six cars jumped all at once.
That's classic.
And that's how they kind of nailed the people that had been cheating.
Wow.
Google it. I mean, it's
true.
That's
amazing.
That's the Astros, right? With the trash can banging to...
Sure, yeah. Pit stealing signals.
Yeah.
Yeah, communicating.
Coughing in the audience on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What's going on that we haven't figured out yet, but that's awesome.
Yeah. Well, Investigator Jason is on the case.
Okay, yeah. Report back, please.
Yeah. like I said, Checo retired on the second lap, bringing out a virtual safety car, ending what is probably Checo's final race in a Red Bull. I guess it's not been...
He has a contract for next year.
Yeah.
So he says.
Yes. Well, I mean, he does. We'll see if he's going to be just hanging out at the Red Bull factory for a year. We'll see what's next from Checo in the next few weeks. But the virtual safety car comes in fairly quickly on the next lap, lap three. And George is pushing on Pierre, who is sitting in P3 at the moment after everything that had happened. Let's see, but Pierre was able to keep it because he was in DRS range with Carlos ahead of him and is playing doing great defensive driving to keep Georgia behind him for quite a while. Oscar ended up locking up on lap three, and then he crashed into the back of Franco, which caused him to get a puncture, and Oscar damages his front wing, so they both have to come in and pit, and then ultimately Oscar gets a 10-second penalty for that. So the advantage that he got for Max crashing into him, he loses it immediately, essentially. And so he'll have to come in when he comes in for his next pit stop. He will have to serve a 10-second penalty. So not a very good race for Oscar to start.
I mean, it was all just a domino effect, right? If he hadn't been hit by Verstappen, he wouldn't have been in that position anyway. And then he ran into the back of the other guy, and then he got the penalty. You know,
it was just a clumsy sort of start to the race for him, really. I mean, obviously the Verstappen thing was not his fault at all, but he should have got his head back in the game a little bit quicker and not gone into the back of Franco.
Yeah. I mean, he might have picked up a little bit of damage, but still not good there. Let's see. Lando's already starting to pull away. He's got a 3-second penalty or 3-second lead to Carlos behind him, who has a 4-second lead to Pierre behind him, who still has George in around DRS range behind him, but still keeping him behind. Charles had another great pass down the long straight into turn 7, but before they get to the turn, he was able to take P6 from Alonso, moving up even more. And they are Ferrari are the only team at this point to have two cars in the top 6 and looking to get by Lando, which is seeming hard at the moment, but Charles still moving up. Just a couple laps later, he gets by Nico into P5, and then at essentially the exact same time on track, Max is getting by Alonso and up into P7. So he's working his way back up. Let's see, Kevin finally comes in. He has a slow stop. Nico and Fernando come in on the next lap. They're towards the back of the top 10. And then lap 14, George still trying to get by Pierre, but Pierre's doing a great job using the ERS when he needs to just to keep him behind. But Pierre does end up coming in on the next lap, has a good stop. Who comes out behind his new teammate, who just lets him right by. And then Pierre starts moving up again fairly quickly. He gets by Yuki down that long straight. Yuki does fight back with the next DRS straight, but Pierre had way more grip going around the outside of turn 9 and was able to make it stick, and a great race so far from Pierre. Then Nico is able to get by him after his pit stop, and Yuki is just falling back. Let's see. I guess Charles was I guess he's not one of the leaders at this point, but he's in P6, I guess, or P5. And he comes in for his first stop, falls down to P8 between Pierre and Nico. And I was thinking that George was going to come into pit, but he stayed out for quite a bit longer.
In the pre-race they were projecting the one stop pit window would be lap 21 to 29, but we had guys really pitting well before that, like 4 or 5 laps, really starting from even back to like what, lap 14, people were started to pit. Certainly by 17 there's quite a few people pitting, so it was a little bit earlier. I don't know quite who pitted first, then everyone reacted to it, but a lot of earlier stops, and you kind of think at that point, well, how long is that hard tire going to last? Are you going to get some people praying for a safety car or just running out of tires at the end?
We heard Yuki's engineer telling him to stay out and him begrudgingly asking why they're making him stay out longer as he's getting passed by everybody. But he does ultimately end up coming in on the next lap. And he comes out in front of Pierre and Charles, but he is a full lap down. So, I mean, he gets out of the way fairly well. I mean, there might have been a little gap between a little larger of a gap between Pierre and Charles after they both get through, but didn't make much of a change. And Charles is able to get by Pierre on the next lap anyway and back up into P6. And the 5 guys in front of him have not pit yet. So Charles doing an incredible job. Let's see, I guess Carlos ends up coming in on lap 26 from P2, only loses one spot to George, who still hasn't pit. Lando and George came in on the next lap. Lando had a 2-second pit stop, so a really great pit stop. And so I think he keeps the lead coming out of the pits. Carlos was only 1.5 seconds behind him, though. I don't remember what the gap was ultimately when Carlos, I think it was like 3 or 4 seconds, maybe. So Carlos undercut him a little bit, but Lando was able to kind of pull away fairly quickly after he had come out and warm up his tires pretty fast. Let's see, where'd George fall? He fell to P7 behind Pierre. Yeah, Franco came in to retire on that lap as well in his final race for now in F1.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a pretty good shot to get a seat at some point, I would say.
Yeah, we'll see how things go. I mean, he was all the talk up until Vegas.
Yeah.
And that crash in qualifying, I mean, Red Bull were talking to Williams about a seat in one of their teams. Yeah. And he just stuck it in the wall in qualifying when he didn't need to, fresh off the back of 2 expensive crashes in Brazil. And I think that the Brazil crashes, they were like, okay, the weather, you know, not ideal, but really that crash in Vegas really put an end to Franco's aspirations of a seat for next year. But you know, he's done a good job. He'll be the reserve driver for Williams next year. If anyone gets appendicitis, I guess not Albon because he's already had it. Actually, so is Carlos. So there you go. Yeah. So no one.
Something you get twice. They're the non-appendix team.
Yeah.
As my joke suddenly came around full circle and got even funnier, because that's the only
later
chance
team.
Because that's the only chance that anyone's ever really had to come in, or broken wrists, in the case of Liam, but. If anything happens to either of the Williams drivers next year, or if anything happens to anyone on the grid, maybe they'll. I don't doubt that he'd be one of the first people to get called. You know, a couple of years just sitting as the reserve driver. I don't know what Albon and Carlos. I think Carlos has got a 2-year, maybe, but maybe a seat will open up as things start moving around in a couple of years, and he can, you know, stay at Williams. But. Yeah. We'll see how it goes. Obviously, I mean, he's a cool guy. I've liked seeing his interviews. He's popular. You know, you just look at how it was in Brazil. Obviously, Brazil do have their own driver on the grid again next year with Bortoleto, fresh off the back of his F2 championship this year.
Yeah.
But yeah, hopefully this is not the last we see of Franco.
Yeah. Totally agree on all that. He seems like a pretty cool dude. It would be great to see him on the grid in the future. But Carlos was flying after his pit stop, taking the fastest lap. But even still, with him taking the fastest lap, Lando was pulling farther away. And Liam, who had come into pit, didn't really make a note of it. He was pretty far back, but he had come into pit a couple laps earlier than this. And they showed the replay of the pit stop. And I don't know if I saw his mechanic even tighten the wheel at all. But the wheel was really loose and he had to come in again for another pit stop to at least get it tightened. And then because he was put out on the track in an unsafe condition, he got another. Oh, excuse me. He got a 10-second stop and go penalty on top of that whole extra pit stop and the whole lap he had to do on.
He got a 10-second stop go. I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Or did that translate to 30 seconds of race time at the end? Because I don't
know. Because you have to serve it. You have to serve it.
You have to stop it in 3 laps, right? Yeah. Good point. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't notice that at all.
Yeah. So he dropped all the way to the back of the grid. And it was Lando that got the 10-second stop and go penalty in Vegas, right?
Yes. Yes. For not lifting, going down the
or
straight.
Or was it in Qatar? It was Qatar. Yeah.
Last week. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Last week, not lifting, going down the straight. And we definitely thought it was overkill.
Yeah.
But that's the rule. Still, because it was double wave jellos. Yeah, right, be prepared to stop. The fact, I mean, I missed last week, but you don't expect double wave yellows in the middle of a straight. So he probably wasn't even looking up. He was probably fiddling with something on his steering wheel. But the rule is, you have to be prepared to stop. You've got to, even that, the thing that galls me though is that Verstappen literally lifted for 0.2 of a second or something. Right. And, or it was just, but he met the rule. And that's not really the spirit of the rule. The rule is you need to be prepared to stop on the double waved yellow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Penalty for failing to do it is a 10 second stop go. So I agree with that. As harsh as it is.
Yeah. But that's old news.
But back back across the Gulf to Abu Dhabi. Here we are.
Yeah. But yeah, that's what Liam ultimately got. And odd that we hadn't seen a stop and go penalty in so long. And now we've seen them in two straight races to end the season. So the new race director really asserting his rule of law over the grid. But Max ultimately ended up coming in for his first stop on lap 30, serving his 10-second penalty for his collision with Oscar. And he fell back to P11 and was whining about it as he was serving it. He was calling somebody idiots. I don't know if it was the stewards or Oscar or whatever, but Max being Max once again. And then on lap 31, Bottas locks up and crashes right into Kevin.
It was so clumsy.
Really bad.
It was, I mean, Bottas's last race, and he crashes with Perez on what we think is probably Perez's last race. Yep. And then who's he crash into? Fucking K-Mag. Sorry.
K-Mag.
Who's his last race too? It's like, Bottas, what are you doing? Go find Joe and then go find Franco and see if you can take them out too and like have their careers come to an end like in similar misery. But I mean, when you saw it, he just totally locked up. It was the weirdest accident I think I've seen in a really long time.
It was odd.
Yeah.
And that was Bottas's, he ends up coming in to try and see if they can put him back out, but I mean, his wheel was hanging off, and that is the final racing moment we will see of Bottas in F1 potentially, but there are lots of rumors that he is going to be the reserve driver for Mercedes next season. So that'll be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, might see him back in a car at some point next season. Yeah. You never know what's going
to
happen.
I mean, there were rumors that, you know, he's trying to get in at Red Bull, but is he any different from Checo? I mean, obviously, Checo's regressed and he's kind of gone off the boil, but I still can't see that happening. With all the Mercedes Red Bull history, I can't see it happening. They want to go, you know, use their youth program for what the youth program has been designed to do and promote from within.
Yeah. But who knows? Maybe the new team we're going to be seeing on the grid in 2026 will have two more seats opening up. So who knows? Maybe we'll see Bottas again in the future. And so that is the end for him. Oscar comes in for his second stop and serves his 10-second penalty for his moment with Franco earlier in the race. And he comes out in P15 and is just going to try anything he can to help the team and get back up into the points if he can. Lewis comes in for his second stop a few laps later and goes onto a set of mediums. I guess this was his first stop, right?
Yeah.
Lewis, because he started on hard tires.
Where's your tire chart, Martin? But yes, yeah. I do believe this is, it was his one and only stop as he went.
Yeah, I think it is his only stop.
Yep.
So he had started on the hard tires and was complaining a lot about them not doing very well, and a lot of the guys who started on mediums and went on to hard tires were complaining about how they were struggling on the hard tires. But once he got onto the medium tires, they seemed to be doing really well for him. He came out ahead of Alonso and was able to keep him behind. He closed the door on him. He was just trying to move back up the field and see how far he can go from starting in P16, already doing a great job on that first stint.
Yeah, it worked out really, really well for him up until that point. I mean, maybe, like you said, the tires were going off, but people on, like Verstappen on the mediums took those 29 laps, and yeah. Hamilton only took the hards 34. So not a massive difference.
Yeah, I mean, he effectively is in seventh on the track after starting in P16. So, you know, I mean, he wasn't like Charles doing it on one lap, but still a very impressive first stint to the race. Max was able to get by Fernando on lap 36. And let's see, Lewis was okay. So Lewis is ahead of Max at this point in time, right? So Max is going to try and get up to Lewis, but Lewis is pulling away on the fresher, softer tires. Alonso ends up coming in for his second stop, falling out of the points. But Oscar, trying to get back up into the points, is able to get by Lance down the long straight into turn 7 and keep it through the next DRS zone and try and chase down his countryman Jack Doohan, which he is able to do in a few laps into turn 9 and is able to get by him. Let's see. Lewis is still gaining on Pierre, and then with DRS range on lap 42 down the long straight is also able to into turn 7 get by him. I think George was able to fight back, but then into turn 9 he had the outside with all the grip around the outside of turn 9 and was able to take P5 from Pierre. And we'll had 14 seconds to try and catch George in P4. He seemed like he was worried he wasn't going to be able to do it, but Toto told him he would be able to do it. It was the whole team was really fighting for Lewis this weekend, even though it's his last time there. It was cool.
I admit, I thought that was like an empty gesture.
You
I didn't
think so.
I didn't think he could do it. So shows you what I know.
Well, it did seem like a lot. I mean, yeah. It was 16 laps to go, right, 14 seconds to make up.
It seemed huge, but on different tires, I guess.
Yeah.
And if you get no traffic.
Yeah. It did seem like a tall task, but Toto was the one to convince him to try and make it happen. Max was able to get by Pierre a few laps later, but he had 7 seconds to go to catch up to Lewis, who was flying ahead, who had already in 4 laps made up 4 seconds. So it was seeming more and more possible as the laps were going down, and so was the gap between the two. Oscar was able to make a move on Yuki, but lost the car for a little bit going into the corner and went wide. He did lose the spot to Yuki, but was right back behind him by the next lap and was able to take him into turn 7 with Yuki taking it back down the next lap, or down the next DRS mode. But on the next lap, he waited until turn 9, the second DRS straight, and was able to ultimately take it, and had 10 laps to try and get back up into the points. Let's see. Fernando got by Albon into P9, which made Albon lose some time, so Oscar only had 2 seconds to make up to get by him and into the points, which he was finally able to do on lap 54. Given everything Oscar had to go through, all the penalties and everything, getting back up into the points was pretty remarkable. Yeah. Yeah, and that was really it up until the very last lap. Lewis just gets into DRS range on the penultimate lap. Liam ends up having to pull off with his car having smoke pouring out of it, but he was luckily able to get it out of danger so that it was only a short yellow flag and in fairly quickly, so that on the very last lap, Lewis lining George up pretty much for the whole entire lap through both the first long DRS zone, keeping it behind him into turn seven, then lining him up going to turn nine and just kind of dummying George to take the outside line so Lewis could duck down the inside of turn nine and take P4 from George. Really crazy move. But as that move is happening, Lando crosses the line and is able to seal the Constructors' Championship for McLaren for the first time in 26 years. With Carlos and George rounding out the podium with another incredible race from Charles. What a crazy eventful race.
Yeah, I mean, Leclerc and Hamilton, I mean, and Norris, you know, great drives from all those guys. I mean, Sainz kind of got lost in the shuffle there, like, just did his job, came in P2, but Leclerc and Hamilton's come from way down in their starting positions to finish third and fourth is amazing. But Norris, you know, just did what he needed to do up front, kept his nose clean, didn't lose it on the first lap like he has done so many times, and brought it home for McLaren. I'm sure he felt the pressure.
Yeah.
You know, even though it wasn't for the world championship, you know, the team.
Well, it was.
Well, the Constructors' World Championship or the Drivers' World Championship, but I'm sure the team was stressed about it and super happy, especially after what happened to Piastri on the first lap.
Yeah. One thing that I did see, and I chuckled at in the, well, I didn't see it, I heard it, because when they were on the commentary team, they were speaking to Zach Brown on the pit lane, on the pit wall, and Zach said something that's like, you know, this is going to be a long 28 laps. And they said, it's actually 18. And
right,
he's like,
right.
Really? Oh, amazing. Because he was, you know, it was a really long couple of hours just for, you know, after Oscar had, you know, fallen to the back and with the two Ferraris right up behind them. It's like, man, that's, you know, an engine problem or just something that would take, you know, say he lost energy recovery.
Or back marker crashing.
Yeah, that could have, you know, because I think if it had been a Ferrari 1-2 and Lando 3rd, that would have been a Ferrari constructor champion, I think.
Yeah.
So it was, the pressure was on throughout the whole race. Any cushion that they had in the form of Oscar just made Zach Brown age a few years during the course of Sunday afternoon.
Yes. But it was funny on the, you heard him as the race was over and him saying next year is going to be the year for my year too, and that him and Zach are going to get really wasted after the race. I don't know. It was awesome to see.
Yeah, I mean, Zach has a penchant for getting tattoos, right, in these situations.
I think he's over that.
He's over that. He keeps. Yeah. He got too many tattoos.
Yeah.
From race wins between him and Lando
and Danny.
Ricardo.
Yeah, he got the Monza tattoo, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. He got one for Lando's first win, too.
Yeah.
In Miami, yeah.
But not for Oscar. Oscar was fine with that, I think. Yeah. And then, obviously, the last race for Lewis, the one line, he was really cool. He said it to Bono, I think. He said, we dreamed alone, but together we believe. I don't know where he got that line from, a book or something. But
very profound.
Yes. But, yeah, a lot of tears in the Mercedes garage, as you know, he was supposed to be interviewed, I guess, after the race with everyone else. He was the only guy that did donuts at the finish line. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yeah. Do they allow them to do donuts?
Joe did some, yeah.
Yeah, Joe did some, but have they banned those? I've heard that in the past. They've got a bit grumpy about the people.
No, the teams get a bit. Yeah, not on the start finish line, but out near the W Hotel. But they don't like them to do it because it basically cooks the engine. So the teams don't let their guys do it, but it's the last race of the season, so they just do donuts.
Right.
But, I mean, Lewis got his own. Yeah, you're fired. Although I did see that that they gave Bottas a 5-spot grid penalty for the next race that he competes in. It's like, why didn't you not just kick the guy out of F1?
Right? Yeah.
It's like, you're fired. Don't come back. But it was, you know, Lewis got that thing, you know, his own little spot on the start finish to go. And it's like, I mean, Bottas, Joe, K-Mag, they're all leaving F1. Lewis is just going to another just team.
Yeah, exactly. Happens all the time.
What's, seriously.
Yeah. I mean, they are probably the most successful driver team pairing ever.
Right? Undoubtedly. Yeah.
I mean, how many did Michael win with Ferrari? 5?
Yeah, because he won at least 2 with Benetton. Sure. Right.
Yeah, he won 2 with Benetton and then 5 with Ferrari.
Right. So Lewis won 6 with Mercedes.
But it's also the longest, the most races with a single, you know, one driver with a constructor. So 12 plus years. So
on like the sign that they put on the grid with, that the cars like drive up to, you know, like the ones that say 1, 2, and 3 for the podium finishers. His just had the dates of all of his championships on it with Mercedes.
Yeah.
It was cool. It was cool that all the fans were chanting for Lewis too. I'm sure it made Lando feel kind of weird that, you know, he's the race winner and everyone's just like, Lewis.
It did feel weird that like he isn't leaving.
He's just got a Ferrari.
Yeah.
It's like
the team that got 2nd and 3rd. Like, it's not like he's going anywhere.
He's going to be in the mix.
Yeah. So, yeah, that is the final race of the 2024 season. The winners and losers, obviously, Lando and McLaren clinching the constructors puts them as winners, as well as Ferrari with an incredible race. I mean, in particular, Charles, like we said, and Lewis with an incredible race. But Pierre and Alpine clinching P6, which looked impossible not that long ago, right?
Pierre has just had a really good end of season.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I bet he wishes the season wasn't ending right now.
Yeah.
It was, you know, the Alpine was horrible. Horrible through like the first 17 or 18, maybe 20 races.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And then suddenly from Brazil, this run of 4 last races, they've looked really good. Yeah. You know, Pierre cost $0 in damage, clearly wasn't trying hard enough. And Oscar completed every lap of the season. So two records there. Because I think three or four other, I think Vettel's done it, Michael Schumacher did it, and Lewis did it, you know, completing every lap of the season. But obviously this season's 24 races long, and Oscar finished, you know, completed every lap.
Oh, amazing.
So two records right there.
Nice. And I guess the losers, I mean, I guess Red Bull. I mean, it's not necessarily them this race in particular, but, you know, they're going to be going into this next season in a very different position than they've been in the last few seasons. I mean, they're not going to be the best, the expected best team on the grid going into next year.
Yeah. I mean, we imagine, yeah, that the teams going into next year, there's not massive rule changes, right? So
yeah,
they'll look to improve their cars as they always do. But let's hope that when the season starts, it's going to be just as competitive at the beginning of next year as it's been at the end of this one.
Yeah. And with Adrian Newey, if he was still at Red Bull, you'd say, well, they've still probably odds on to come out of the box next year being the quickest. But right. Newey's not there anymore.
Yeah, and it showed throughout the season.
Yeah, I mean,
it kind of showed the minute he left, right? That's when
it did,
which is weird. It's not like he took the wings with him off the car. Right.
These are mine.
You're slower now immediately. Yeah. But yeah, so it didn't necessarily translate to Aston Martin getting quicker immediately. But
well, he hasn't started there yet.
Right. Yeah.
So yes, he's there, but is he going to have an immediate impact?
Right.
No, because I don't think he can even start until February. I think that's the end of his gardening leave. So
I see.
Yeah. So it's maybe you'll see them not be as rubbish at in-season development next year. But really, all eyes for Aston are going to be on 2026.
Right.
Whole new set of eggs.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But who's, you know, potential world champion next year could be one of five drivers, right?
I mean,
McLaren,
yeah.
Ferrari, Verstappen.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think Lewis will go straight in and be challenging Charles. You know, Lewis hasn't really been able to get to grips with this ground effect car. And it's obviously Charles's team. He's been there forever.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see how next year goes. But again, 2026, when the rules change, Ferrari could be up there. Lewis could be up there. But obviously next year, Charles could be, you know, Charles and Lando could be the two that the,
sure,
you know, the smart money's on going into 2025.
I'd put George up there too. If they can figure it out, I think.
If they can figure out that car, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that's really it, I guess. Unfortunately, Mark's not with us as we move over to Coops.
Oh yeah, Coops F1. Yeah, so top scores this round by Ayrton Senna. I don't know how to pronounce that. 268 points. I mean, decent score, you know, given that again, it's got a lot much harder in the second half of the season to predict the top finishers. But overall in the full standings, R. Heatley just took top spot. You know, was in the lead basically for the second half of the season, although prancing to first, you know, our own Mark did draw level at one point a few races ago, but couldn't make it count. So he finishes second. And then Midna B moves up three places onto the third step of the podium to finish third overall. So congrats to them. And yeah. I mean, unfortunately, Mark isn't in our little mini league that we have. We should add him in, but Nick technically won the mini league because Mark's
If I can figure that out, then yes, we should.
Yeah, I finished 15th
overall. Yeah, 15th overall. Jason 32nd, and then unfortunately I wasn't able to crack the top 100. I moved up 10 spots.
It was close.
I moved up 10 spots at the end there to 104th, but next year's another year.
Yeah.
We'll see.
You finished just 3 points behind the Gurning Chimp.
there are some funny names for players. Some that you wouldn't repeat on air too much either. Some people aren't fans of Hamilton or Max Verstappen.
Max Verstappen is one, right?
There's one that's just F Hamilton, I think.
Or Max sucks.
Yeah. Some people are more imaginative than others. But yeah, another good season of Coops F1. I'll reset it for next year. All to play for.
Yeah.
See
how. And all absolutely free.
Yes,
right. Just a bit of fun.
Well, anything else you guys want to add?
When's testing start?
Right. I think it's 96 days until the new season.
This is the first time.
That's
the first time.
Quick.
Since we've been doing this, where at the end of the season, I was sad that the season was ending because we just had such a crazy season. And what we're going to see next year should be something
I just
amazing.
Hope, yeah, we're all in the same boat with you, Jason. We all see how it's been the last, what, 7, 8, 10 races, and we want that to continue. So,
yeah, I mean, when you think back to like the fifth race of the season, and it looked like it was going to be even worse. I mean, like even more dominant.
Yeah.
Red Bull this year than last. The season looking forward seemed it was going to be really long.
Yeah.
And actually, when you think back to that time, man, it just seemed quite a long time ago, but what a different season it ended up being to what we thought it might have been going into like Spain.
Yeah.
It's been good.
That's why I'm nervous. We were wrong last year, but it changed good. I don't want us to be wrong again. I want it to be competitive, but
yeah,
all we can do is watch, can't we? We're going to watch no matter what. We can't help ourselves.
He has to give up the corner. I had to bounce ahead. What is wrong with these people?
Thanks for listening to the Undercuts review of the 2024 Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and join us next time for our review of the 2024 F1 season. See you then.